Okay, you guys did pretty good while I was gone. Covered some good territory. Some of the stuff that I wasn't really looking too forward to do, so thank you for doing that. So anyway, we're back here in Judges. We're studying about Samson. Now, if you have one of these little chronological papers here, you'll see that Jephthah and Samson and Eli, and maybe there's a couple others like Jar, they all lived in about the same time. They were just in different parts of the territory there that the Israel occupied at this time. So that's just kind of interesting to know that they were alive at that time and in that time frame. So lots of times you read this, you think there's one like Samson did, and then next goes to the next guy, but they were all interwoven, kind of, so to speak. So, you know, as we study Samson, we're going to find that he's a kind of a loner guy. He didn't get a big army and do some fighting for Israel. He kind of did it one-handed, single guy out there. And how he triumphed over some powerful enemies and a lot more of them than him. Now, Ehud, back in chapter 3, he kind of started out doing things single-handedly. Anybody remember what he did when we were studying him? Ehud? Okay, he made that knife and went in and killed the Moabite king, Eglon. And we're going to see about the Nazarite and the Nazarite vow. Did you guys talk about that last week for a while or not? Okay. Now, I was looking here in that chapter 13 here. There's three different places where it's talked about the Nazarite vow. Yeah, verse 7, verse 4, verse 14, it's kind of reintroduced and talked about. And that's what Samson was going to be, a Nazarite from birth in his life, for his life. And not to have fermented drink, no wine. And if you get down to verse 14, it says, not anything from the grapevine. So that would include grapes, raisins. And, you know, you use the grape leaves for cooking. As I had a lady walk by my house one day and wanted to have some of my grape leaves for putting in a dish she was making. Well, if you say so. Yeah, she never came back, so maybe she found a better deal someplace else. So he was consecrated to the Lord from birth, and we could kind of look at him and say he was kind of a superhero. But, you know, every superhero has his kryptonite. His was the foreign women, and he liked to foolishly chase them. And that led to his destruction in the end. And then you can kind of look at a parallel at Israel, how Israel was the same way. You know, we saw that they would do evil, so they were prostituting themselves to the foreign false gods of the Canaanites. And then they would be having destruction, too, from marauding bands and people overpowering them and just putting them under their thumb. And you can look at his mother and father and see that they were good people. They believed in God. They prayed to the Lord. They had faith. And they wanted to know exactly how their son was going to be living and what he would be doing and how things would go, because they wanted the angel to come back and give more information. And they prepared a burnt offering. okay, I think we'll start out here and I'll read the rest of the chapter here beginning around verse 15. And then we'll talk about some of the questions. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know he was an angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name? What is your name that your words may come to pass, we may honor you, that when your words come to pass?" So he was showing his faith there, but believing that was going to happen right away. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask me my name, seeing it is wonderful?" So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward the heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanath Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. I always say that at home fine, but when I get here, I just don't want to come out for some reason. Some people say I'm very trying. Yeah. Okay, I was going to try to maybe combine some of these questions because they seem to run together here. Let's see if I can make a stab at that. So, at the top of page 35, start there, question 12. I think I'll just read 12 and 13 together and we can just kind of discuss the whole thing. What did Manoah offer to do for the angel? What did the angel say in response? And what reason is given why Manoah made these requests? And then 13, what question did Manoah ask the angel then? In 13:17, how did the angel respond to this question? Okay. So, anybody got some answers to some? Okay. I guess it's not going to work out. What did Manoah offer to do for the angel? What did he want to do for the angel? Okay, some yummy, delicious goat preparation there. And then what did the angel say about that? Okay, he was a spiritual being. I don't think he ate, you know. Or it was to be, he should properly thank God and give thanks to God in a certain way, I would think. Yeah. Okay, so he said he should prepare a burnt offering to the Lord. So that is, if you look back on those times, they had a certain hospitality practice they observed. And if we flip back to, let's see, Genesis 6, verse 18. Okay, 6:18. Let's see, read 18 and 19. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark. Your son, did I write down the wrong one here? Oh, I think I read the wrong place here. 6:18 and 19. Yeah, that definitely isn't the right one. Okay, let's see, let's try Genesis 18. Maybe that's the one I was looking for. Okay, 18. Okay, yeah, that's more like what I was. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah, said, "Quickly make ready 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender, good calf, and gave it to the young man, and he hastened to prepare it. And go on down there a little ways here. And anyway, that was what their practice was, and practice hospitality. I have written down the wrong thing completely there, so I got messed up. What verse was that? Oh, okay, there's where the 2 angels came. Okay, I had one I thought was the angel and it was showing, and then there's another one in where I think it was Gideon prepared a goat too. Yeah. Very good. And Manoah didn't realize at first that was the angel of the Lord. That was another point I wanted to point out there. Okay, I think I found what I had written. Yes. Yeah. messenger. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that happened. It's down. Yes. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Oh, okay. Okay. Right. And then he ascended. Yeah. Okay. Thing I wanted to point out here earlier, I see what I had written down there in Judges chapter 6, and that's when Gideon, verse 18, do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you, he said. I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, put the broth in a pot, brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. In verse 20, the next line says, the angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. I think that's when he touched the staff there. So we see a similar type thing happening with Gideon. That's what I wanted to point out. And I figured out what I did. I looked at the wrong spot there. Okay. Now, when we're doing these questions, we're kind of doing them in order as we go down there. And usually the question only refers to like one or two verses. And if you get ahead, that's answering the next question. That's what makes this thing so some kind of complicated at times. So the next question is going to be on the next verse. Now, what question, next two verses, what question did Manoah ask the angel then in 13:17? So what was that question? Okay, now, I got a couple different translations I looked at here. And one, like the one I got right here with me, it's called Wonderful. 17, and what is your name when your words come to pass that we may honor you? And it says, and the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? Okay, and then another translation I had was, it said, it is beyond understanding. That's the NIV. Yeah. And then I had a reference that was up in Isaiah that would give you some more information here. Let's see if I can find that. Isaiah 6, or 9:6. Hopefully I wrote that one down right this time. Okay, 9:6. Yeah, I knew a lot of guys from Thailand and Southeast Asia had some really long names when I worked with them. No name. Okay, verse 6 of chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Sounds like it's referring to Jesus. So this was a messenger from Jesus, and his, what's that? That was Isaiah 9, verse 6. Yeah. Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah, play, kind of a play on words. Right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of wonder going on there. Yeah. Yeah. Did it have a translation of the...
No. I have seen God face to face.
Ah, okay. So we know it's a messenger from God, and so I think that's what really ties everything together. Somebody else have something here? I thought I saw something flying around back there. Yeah, that sounds very plausible. Yeah, a brass snake, whatever it is. Okay. Well, they must have been exotic looking women or something. Maybe he was just Samson was just a young guy with extra hormones going strong. Yeah, you're answering the questions too far ahead here. Okay. Well, let's go to number 14. What offering did Manoah make, and where did he make it? Okay. Any more discussion on that? Okay. Let's go to 15.
Charcoal lighter and all something.
Well, we know certain times, like, what was it, when Gideon and the angel touched his staff to it, and it burnt, and what was it, Elijah, and they poured all the water around and everything, and I always thought it was like barbecue. That's what I was always thinking. I love that. Broth and stuff too. Yeah. When we were back visiting our friends on the farm, they had black Angus cows, and they were having, it was calving time, and they had their last two calves, and they were twins, so they named them Adam and Clinton. But anyhow, those cattle are worth a lot of money. You know, if you lose one, they had somebody kill one of their bulls and butcher it and steal the meat. One time, that wasn't even during COVID or anything. That was back years ago. So that's a thing of value, that, and it's your best that you have, and you're burning it for God's glory and to make God pleased with you. And you know, that meat will burn up, and those bones will burn up. So, and you got to remember temple, God lit the fire, and they were supposed to keep that fire going, not offer strange fire. So that fire came from God. So that was, you know, part of their worship, where the priests took care of that and everything. So anyway, anything else anybody has to say on that subject? Okay. Okay, what did the angel do as the offering was being made? I think somebody just said that earlier. Ascended, okay. And then what happened to Manoah and his wife after they saw this? Yeah, they fell down because they were probably partly fear and partly showing reverence. And Yeah. wonder. Yeah, I'm having a hard time understanding. I don't hear very good either, so I got tinnitus. So I'm sorry to say that. But yeah. In 2 Kings 2:11, it's talking about Elijah. And, I'd like to talk about that just a tad because that was a kind of a similar situation. Let's see what I say. 2 Kings 2:11. Okay, so 2 Kings 2:11, and it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So that was a time when Elijah left Elisha, I think, right? Yeah, Elijah. Oh, Elijah saw it. In the next verse, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. So that's it. When a servant goes up to the Lord, you know, he ascends up to heaven. So I guess that's where we think that heaven's up, you know, because we see all those times that they ascend. Go back that direction. Okay. Right. I guess you lose your fear of heights when you do that. I would hope so, because when I went across that bridge in Pittsburgh, I was kind of concerned because we were way up above the water. You could look down through the gratings and see the water down there. But I made it across. Okay. Yeah. Okay, after this event, this is question 16. What did Manoah know about the one who had appeared to him? People don't just fly around like that back then. All right. Okay, and what?
That's interesting where the earlier on, his wife describes her encounter with this being to her husband. And it says that his appearance was like the appearance of an angel of God, very odd. So did his appearance change when she encountered him?
I don't know. Do you have something, Paula?
Yeah. My brother and I had one of the silliest questions. And I came across this really cool saying in one of the commentaries that I just thought I should write this down. Because there's so much we just aren't ever going to figure out. And what this said is there are secret things that belong not to us, of which we must be quite contented with the ignorant.
Very special. She ever seen an angel before?
you have something, Pavel? Giant. Yeah. Okay. As we go down here, I think it'll be probably next week we'll get to talk about the trimmed, you know, hair cutting stuff. We're not quite down there yet, but we'll get there. Let's see. Now, what lesson can we learn about the purpose of this miracle here, where he went up into the air? What does that tell us? What does that prove? Yeah. That. Okay. Now, one thing you can hand Manoah is he was said before it even happened that, you know, when the miracles happen, you know, the birth of the son or. And then as this here happened too, that you know, he was believing it was going to happen, and so he had faith already to start with. So I really hand it to him for to believing and everything about this report about the son going to be born. Okay, we'll go down to the next one here. Okay. Unawares.
And if you do it bad,
Okay, what fear did Manoah express at this event? It's a great line out of a movie. We're all going to die. Yeah. Okay. Why would he express such a concern? Okay. Seeing the face of God. Going back to Gideon again in chapter 6, verse 23, it says that, then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die." That was when Gideon perceived that the angel of the Lord was talking to him. So he was might have been fearful of that, and God, "Don't worry, you're not going to die." Now, when Moses came down from Sinai, being in the presence of God, his face shone. So that was kind of the thought I got of this messenger coming down. He probably had a pretty bright, shiny face or something, that, or his clothing or something was really white. That was the idea I got. What, any of you have any ideas about that? Okay, let's go on to the next one here. Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I already did that. What did his wife conclude about his fears? Vern said she was a smart woman here. Okay, she figured it all out. Now, if the Lord meant to kill us, why did he accept our offerings? And why did he tell us all these things? And we're going to have to raise this child, so, you know, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. Well, what time? Not like you're going to have cancer from it. It's going to slowly eat away for years till you finally, yeah. You know, it's instantaneous, right?
Yeah, what happened, it would happen then. So if you're still alive,
what was Moses hiding behind the rock when the Lord passed and all he saw was the backside, you know? So if he saw the front side, he would have been the end of him, evidently. Okay, had a meltdown. Okay, what fears do people sometimes have today that they would not have if they would consider more carefully God's promises to them? Just one case of beer to another and one weekend of work and that's it. Yeah, fearing everything, but what they should fear, fear God and keep His commandments. If you want something firm and established, the rock you can hold on to, that's Jesus. He's unchanging. Same yesterday, today, and forever. So you can depend on Jesus. Okay. We've got about 5 minutes left, so I guess we'll have our closing song and prayer. And we'll start at question 20 next week. Still in chapter 13.